Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
by Trinkle Mind by Rod Massage and Wellness. And Trinkle Mind by Rod is pleased to announce that we actually have a base location now at 304 East Diamond Avenue in Gaithersburg, Maryland. That is the Profit Club right next to Victor Licks Music. So if you are in the Maryland area or anywhere in the DMV and you're looking for a place to come for a sports massage, therapeutic massage, or any other wellness needs, give us a call at 240-778-5219. You can go on facebook.com/TQMind in order to schedule an appointment, or you can go onto my Facebook or Twitter at rsteve44. So look forward to seeing a lot of different people coming up with a lot of different so we have a lot of specials that are coming through the holiday season, through marathon season, and look forward to assisting anyway. Once again, as always, we're sponsored by Tranquil Mind, by Ride, Massage and Wellness. And today's topic is part two of where we were this past week. And I had to create a part two for this because of the situations that have developed in regards to Ebola. And today I called the topic The Walking Dead. I know a lot of people are looking at the premiere of The Walking Dead tonight, season 5 premiere of Walking Dead. And for those who are not familiar with the show, or for those who may not know what the show is all about, some people may not even heard of Walking Dead. I'm sure that's not typical of what the audience, but there may be some people that may not know what The Walking Dead is all about. And basically, The Walking Dead is about survivors, about people who are trying to make it through each and every day while there are what they call walkers out amongst them. And the walkers were created by an infection that went through the country, it seems, at this particular point. And then it doesn't affect them when they're living, but affects them and turn them into flesh-eating creatures as they die. So this is what The Walking Dead is about. And when you look at the severity of the illness and the infection that went through in this particular show, you look at it and say, yes, it's a show. You know, this is very fictional. It's make-believe. This is Hollywood. But then you look at the events that have happened over the last 7 days. It's the last time I did the show talking about Apocalypse Now. It's the last time I spoke to you. At the time, we had a person that contracted the virus, but it still was living. Now that person is passed. Now we're hearing different counts of people that are being infected with the Ebola virus in the United States. Situations of the mishandling of not only Mr. Duncan, who passed, but also of his family, and also here in reaction to the way Dallas did not do their job. Dallas Presbyterian Hospital especially did not do their job when it came down to securing the rooms, securing the person that was affected, and just overall desanitizing and confirming that the area was capable and culpable for Ebola. So you look at that, and this is completely ridiculous for people to believe that this is an isolated incident, and these are things that will not occur in the United States. Now we hear there's a case in Boston of a person that contracted Ebola, possibly from the same plane of Mr. Duncan. There's several different incidents that's happened recently throughout the East Coast and the Midwest that have signaled that there's potential for Ebola. So what is the CDC doing? The Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, which if you watch Walking Dead, that is pretty much the foundation and the centerpiece for The Walking Dead, because the CDC dropped the ball. And when you look at art imitating life, that's what's going on right now. The CDC is trying to brush off everything, is trying to push everything aside as if these are isolated things that will not progress in the United States. They keep saying we have the capability, we have the care, we have the facilities in order to prevent this from happening. And that sounds nice. That sounds great. But honestly, when you look at the overall scope of things, do we really have the facilities? Wasn't Dallas Presbyterian Hospital a place that has these facilities that could be able to handle someone with Ebola? And now not only the person that contracted Ebola and was brushed aside by the hospital staff, now you have one of their own, the EMT that was driving the person to the hospital. They had him under suspicion and under watch because they thought he may have contracted it. One of the nurses who didn't put on the proper gear, you know, now contracted it, the virus. So are we really prepared for this? Is this really something that we can say that we're secure? Or are you looking at a larger scope of the lack of preparation in our hospitals? And it doesn't have to be specifically with Ebola. There's so many other diseases that have been contracted by people in hospitals because of lack of proper care and lack of proper organization. We have these drills that are going on here at the Inova hospitals in the D.C. metro area in Northern Virginia that are trying to prep themselves just in case somebody comes into their facility saying that they have come from Western Africa or they are feeling the symptoms that are similar to Ebola. So why aren't other hospitals doing this? There's a couple reasons. One, of course, money. Some hospitals have more money and more funding than others. I'm sure that Duke or Johns Hopkins or Inova will probably be more prepared than Dallas Presbyterian or a hospital in Iowa or somewhere in middle America where they might not get the funding as they do here on the East Coast or on the West Coast. But that's one aspect. That's a very important aspect. You think of the money and the funding that hospitals get, and to think that they may not have that preparation. I should think at least every major city should have some sort of hazmat preparation for any type of major catastrophe, any type of major illness, any type of epidemic, pandemic, or situation that may arise at a major hospital. Now, when it comes down to smaller towns should have feeder hospitals in the major cities nearby to accommodate them if the situation does arise where they need those drastic emergency accommodations. Now, in the case of Mr. Duncan, who passed, when you think about that, when you think of Duncan who passed, he was in a major city. He was in Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas is one of the largest cities in the country. It's a major hub, a major airport hub in and out of this country. So it's not just an East Coast or West Coast thing. Dallas is right in the heart of the country. And if this major city, this city that has a very large population, one of the top 25 populations in the country, could not handle one individual and may possibly not be able to handle another individual that is suffering from a virus, what is that saying for the people of Dallas? What is that saying for the preparedness of maybe somebody in Chicago or Indianapolis or St. Louis, Kansas City? Who knows where preparation is? You know, we know that D.C. is going to be ready. We know that New York will be prepared, Philadelphia, Miami, Los Angeles, because those are in Atlanta, of course, because of the CDC, so we think those places will be the most prepared cities when it comes down to an epidemic or pandemic spreading. But overall, you have to realize that these nurses and these doctors they're working long hours and probably not getting the proper pay. Well, at least the nurses aren't not getting the proper pay that is necessary in order to successfully spend the hours and spend the time into their facilities. So that's why money is a big factor. Two, we got to look at insurance. We got to look at liability. And I think this is the more glaring issue when it comes down to Ebola in the United States than anything else. I think it is more so of the liability factor. Nobody wants to get sued. Nobody wants to be responsible if somebody dies. Nobody wants to be held accountable if something spreads. And I think this is where the situation escalated in Dallas. You have a person that's coming from another country in another continent, coming from Western Africa, coming from Liberia. He didn't really have the right papers, allegedly, in order to be in the United States. So obviously that would mean to me that he didn't also have the insurance coverage that would be necessary for a proper handling of a major illness or a major virus in the situation. So when he goes to Dallas Hospital at the very first incident, and he says, I'm not feeling well, I'm just coming from Liberia, I have come in contact with people that have the Ebola virus, and I just want to get checked out to make sure I'm okay. The first thing they probably asked him if he has insurance. He probably said no, because he's from Liberia. He probably didn't have the insurance, like a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or something to that effect. Of course, I'm sure Liberia is a developed nation. I'm sure he did have some sort of health insurance, but it might not have been covered at that particular hospital. So what happens is he goes in there, he gets checked out, he gets looked at very haphazardly, and they tell him, okay, here's some of my penicillin. Go ahead and take that, and then when you get home, when you get back to your country, let them figure out what's wrong with you. That's pretty much what happened to me. And, you know, this is just my speculation, but I'm pretty sure I have a good 90 to 95% idea that that's what happened to Mr. Duncan. So now the situation arises where he gets even more sick. So now he goes back to the hospital. You know, he's feeling the symptoms that are consistent with Ebola. He goes back there and says, you know, I'm taking these antibiotics, I'm not feeling well, what do I do? And then the CDC has to step in when it's too late, because Dallas Presbyterian Hospital probably contacted them saying, we are not being liable or responsible for this guy dying. This is not our problem. He doesn't have the proper insurance, so we're going to stay away from him. So the CDC says, oh, sure, he doesn't have any the insurance, the proper insurance to do this. We're not sure of the financial situation. So what we're going to do, we're going to quarantine the family in the hotel room or in the apartment complex that Mr. Duncan was staying at. Just quarantine the whole family, because if he doesn't have it, chances are that his family doesn't have the proper insurance as well. That's where the bigger issue comes down to it. Basically, you're putting not only the lives of the immediate family, the lives of the immediate individuals in contact, but you're putting the lives of a whole city and a whole neighborhood in danger because of liability issues. And this is the problem with America right now. You think that Obamacare would settle this. You think that, you know, the Universal Health Care Plan, the Affordable Care Act would have been the cure for situations like this that can arise when someone gets sick, someone is having issues, someone who has symptoms of a potentially fatal virus, that insurance would be able to cover it and be able to protect them. But Texas is one of those states that have decided to fight the Affordable Care Act. So now everybody that's in the state of Texas is in danger and is at risk. And if they go to a hospital and they don't have proper insurance, then they will not be covered. And that's ridiculous for a hospital to play around with the fate of people's lives because of lack of liability, lack of insurance, or the lack of compassion for someone who's sick and someone who needs immediate attention. And this is Ron's TV show, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment, Blog Talk Radio. Anybody that wants to comment on this particular matter, you can give me a call, 347-850-1228. We'd love to hear what you think about this particular topic, because this is spreading. This is not going to go away quickly. This is not going to go away quietly. This is going to be something that will be around for a long time, unfortunately. There's people that are trying to say, hey, you know, this is just a minor thing. But then you got people at the CDC that say that this may be bigger than the AIDS epidemic. And the AIDS epidemic was and is still a major deadly virus in this country. So if this is going to that level, then you can understand that this is going to be a major problem. And this is going to be something that will basically have a major impact in our society, in our community. Right now you got school districts down in Texas that are trying to understand what to do in order to make sure that there's not a major issue in their school systems. And when it comes down to children, this is the most critical point, because they say that this only transmits through direct contact. So, okay, children come in direct contact with each other each and every day. You're touching different crayons and different utensils, scissors, the bathroom. You know, they may sneeze or cough on their hand and then play basketball with other, you know, with their friends, or, you know, shake hands, hold hands, things like that. This is the most critical, the very young and the very old, because the very old has to depend on those to take care of them or to handle certain situations. So if you have nurses that have been exposed to this, especially in Dallas, and now they're taking care of the elderly, they may have to do some geriatric care, and they're infected and they're not sure. But they know they got to go to work, because, one, they can't afford not to go to work, and, two, they have to make sure that their clients are taken care of. There's a lot of nurses out there that really take pride in what they do. So they're not going to share that they have a little cough. They're just going to run with it and just hopefully be okay. So now it's at the point where we got to look at the bigger picture. We got to look at, if this one nurse has been affected, how many people did she come in contact with over the past? She realized that she has been affected with Ebola. So that's not just one nurse. There's hundreds of nurses in this particular hospital. That particular ward that this nurse probably worked in, she probably came in contact with different patients, with different coworkers, with different administrators and staff that are right now infected with the Ebola virus, and that's going to spread like a plague throughout Dallas Presbyterian Hospital. What are they going to do? They can't quarantine the whole ward, because obviously we know that they're not prepared for this. And then you got the EMT that walked out, and basically he just had a shower cap on and a face mask, and they thought that that was their way of protecting the people in Dallas and protecting people at Dallas Presbyterian Hospital, which is put a shower cap on them and a mask. In a face mask. That's not the way to do it. And if this is a major city, this is Dallas, Texas, and they're doing this particular lack of preventive care, then imagine what would happen in a city like St. Louis. Imagine what would happen in Chicago. Imagine what would happen in Boston, or even Philly, New York, you know, D.C., even Richmond, Atlanta, all these places that claim that they're prepared. They may not be able to handle the severity or the calamity of this particular disease. And then you look at the other aspect. You have these different airports that are trying to test people prior to them getting off the plane or prior to them getting on the plane. How will that really work? All right, how are you going to treat me? Okay, I might have... It's flu season that's coming up. I might have a temperature of, say, 99.5 or so, and I'm going on a plane. I know I'm feeling a little bit under weather, but I'm flying. So, say, if I'm flying from here, from Dallas Airport to wherever, USA, and I get on that plane, and they're doing an ear temperature gauge, and they see that I'm a little elevated, what are they going to do? If I have just a little cold and I have a little congestion, does that mean that they're going to quarantine me, take me into a room and desanitize me, decontaminate me before I get on a plane? Are they going to hold me hostage for 2 or 3 days because I have a cold, because they think that cold might be of Ebola? That's where the panic meter goes sky high in this country, because now if I'm flying out of Dallas Airport here in D.C., or if I'm flying flying to Kennedy Airport in New York or Newark Airport in New Jersey, then I may have the potential of being screened and be tested for Ebola virus and may be subject to a whole lot of scrutiny because I am a brown-skinned male that is flying on the air, and if I have an elevated temperature. And this is where the profiling, this is where the speculation, this is where discrimination plays a big factor in this country, because now you got all these people. I mean, they're here in the DMV. Here in Montgomery County, Maryland especially, there's a very large African population. In Northern Virginia, there's a very large African population. So now, if you are in those neighborhoods, if you allegedly fit that mold of what it appears to be, then you are going to be labeled, scrutinized, evaluated, and shunned because of who you are, what you look like in their community. This is ridiculous, and what that's going to do, is create a panic. And when you create a panic and you have facilities that aren't prepared for this panic, then that is a cause for widespread disease. Panic, fear, and disorganization is the major cause for widespread fear and widespread disease in this country. And until we realize there's more steps that we have to take in order to prepare ourselves, and until we realize as a country that this is something serious and this is something that we seriously have to concern ourselves with, that everybody that is listening to me, everybody that may podcast this later, everybody that has children, that has elderly in their families, are in danger of being exposed to this virus. And once again, it's the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And like I said, I want to get a little more in depth in this because of the fact of all the different changes of events that's happened in the last 48 hours. I mean, the case of the nurse just happened earlier this morning. So this is something very important. This is immediate news, special events that need to be discussed right now. But we are going to go into a lot of different topics. I'm not going to focus on this, you know, consistently unless there's any changes that are going on. And also, of course, unless the people want to know more information about it, want to know more information about the Ebola virus, how it's contracted, what are the effects of it, what hospitals in your area may be better prepared for this, you can always tweet me at rsq44, facebook.com/Rodney Stevenson. You can also go onto the Tranquil Mind site as well, facebook.com/TQMind, in order to get in contact with me, and we can be able to discuss different wellness and different health benefits in order to make sure that you're being taken care of, that you're being treated, and you're being properly taken care of when it comes down to any type of illness or ailments that may give you that fear of Ebola. So those are some of the things that we're going to attack. But also in the next coming weeks, I want to let people know, of course, as I've been stressing and as I've been discussing over the past few weeks, election time is coming up. Election time is coming up in a few weeks. Your voter registration in most will end this Friday. So you have until the 16th, technically, of October to register to vote. That's pretty much common across the country, across the board. So if you have not registered to vote up until this point, you need to go out and register now. This is important even with cases of the Ebola virus, because the government controls the medical benefits. You know, we already hear that there's people in Congress that are trying to cut back on different funding. There's people that are running for Congress that want to repeal the Affordable Care Act. All these play a big factor. If people don't have the proper insurance to take care of themselves, what does that do? That creates more disease. People aren't going to go to the hospital because of the fact that they know they don't have the insurance recovery. But if they're not going to the hospital and they're just going to shake it off and walk it off, what that does, that causes more potential of more people getting sick. And if more people are getting sick, that can create an epidemic of apocalyptic proportions. The walking dead, you know, the people that are walking around not aware that they have an infection in them and are trying to go along their everyday lives because they don't have the affordable health care, they don't have the proper health insurance in order to get themselves treated. So that's why it's important to vote for your congressman, to vote for your local departments, your state council, your city council. All those things have a major impact on the not only the financial, not only the political and economical, but also the physical and health and wellness side of a community. Think about it. In Texas, if the Affordable Care Act was in Texas, probably this would not have happened. There's a good chance that this would not have happened if Texas recognized the Affordable Care Act. Little things, a domino effect, can cause a big ripple in a whole community in the whole society, in the whole country. So that's why it's very important that you go out, register to vote, know where your registration sites are, make sure you know all the provisions that you need before you go vote, because in 3 weeks we have a very important vote. It's not a presidential election, but midterms are just as important because we want to make sure that the right people are in Congress to make sure the right things are done for our community and our society. So that way something like this does not happen. That way we can make sure that there's enough health care, there's enough affordable benefits, there's enough funding going to these hospitals to prepare for any type of epidemic, pandemic, or any type of widespread disease that can happen in this country. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks as far as just preparing and planning the vote. Also, of course, we'll have different updates that are going on. You see what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, still having issues right now, still having a large fight that's going on. So we're going to continue talking about situations like that as well. The Rise TV show is about not just one aspect each and every week, but we want to try to give you all the reports of things going on in the community. So when you see things like a sit-in going on in Ferguson, Missouri today, that's a very important part, a very important factor, a very historical moment that people are still out there fighting each and every day to make sure that things are being taken care of, that make sure things are not brushed aside. And that's what about TV show is all about, making sure that things are not pushed aside, pushed to the back burner, set aside, and want to give the real truth and the real information on what's going on. So we'll give updates on all that. Also, on a local front, for those who are listening in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, relief and brothers still missing. We still have the two children in Germantown, Maryland, that are still missing. So anybody that has information on these kids that are still missing, anybody that has any insight on some of the things that will give clues to the police department, please call the local police departments in D.C. and in Montgomery County, Maryland, to make sure we bring these children home or at least find out more details on the whereabouts of these children so that way this can be resolved and the sanctity of these children are being recognized and revealed. So I just want to get all that out there. I thank each and every one of you for listening to the Rise TV show each and every Sunday, those who go on the podcast. We are broadcasting around the country, around the world. And I really appreciate everybody that listens to this show and puts in their feedback, puts in their insight, even those who may not be willing to call on the show, maybe a little timid, but will respond to me via Facebook. I enjoy that. Or respond to me via Twitter. I enjoy that because of the fact that I know that you're listening to the show. I know you want to contact, but some people may have just a little apprehension on getting on the show, but no problem. We're going to work on that. We're going to make sure that everybody has voices heard and all opinions matter here on the Rise TV show. So we have a couple minutes left. I do want to mention about Love Talk tomorrow. Love Talk tomorrow's show is the Homecoming Parade, and it's just going to touch on the differences and the way people act and react when they go to their homecomings. It's very big homecoming season right now. A lot of schools throughout the country are having their homecomings in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So people are preparing in many different ways to present themselves to the people that they may not have seen for a long time. So we're going to discuss that. And we also have a very interesting case in the eggs about an article that was sent to me in regards to loving someone that may be a person that you cannot love. Maybe you're married, maybe they're married, and it's a love that may never be. So very interesting case of the eggs. I had to discuss that because it was something that was sent to me, so I really want to talk about that. But as always, thank you each and every day, each and every week for listening to it. And just like I said, every day when you come on a podcast, those things are very important to me. It makes me feel like I'm actually achieving something to make sure the communities are better. So thank you, each and every one of you. This is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And until next time, we'll talk.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity.